Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mullet Cast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Balmer. Today, we're joined by Kathy Kelly. Kathy is the founder of Paranormal Books and Curiosities and the Paranormal Museum. Check them out online at paranormalbooksnj.com. Follow on Instagram at the Paranormal Museum. What's going on, Kathy?
Oh, not much. It's October, so we're really slow and really having a chill month now.
Does paranormal activity die down?
It picks up pretty good.
So is this like your big month? Is this like your Christmas, basically?
It's a perfect way of describing it.
Right.
You know, it's like Halloween is, other than Christmas, it's the biggest holiday in the American calendar. Right. People spend more money. They do more things for Halloween than any other holiday save Christmas.
Right.
But the cool thing is that, like, I have weirdos all year long, you know, but everybody else gets a little weird this one. So we get to see a different side to other people.
So it's time to fly your freak flag.
Yeah, exactly.
During this month. That's cool. So you started, your interest in paranormal, I guess, started as an interest in history originally?
You know, I mean, people always ask me, like, how did you get into this? And for years, I was always like, I just was born this way. I remember being 5-6 years old and just being like, ooh, a graveyard. I want to go over there. My parents are from Ireland, like born and raised. And I think that there's I think there's just kind of something in the Irish spirit that's right. like into that kind of stuff. I have my master's degree in history, but paranormal actually got me to go back and get my degree in history.
Oh, really?
So I kind of was like a weird historian all along. And then everyone started calling me the weird historian. I'm like, wait a second, I'm going to be a real historian. And I went back and got my degree. But I think they go hand in hand.
Oh, that's cool. What was it like? What are your memories from your, other than like the cemetery and stuff? Like, what do you remember from your childhood that drew you to that? Or you just think it was in your blood?
Well, you know, I always did think that. And then I kept saying to people on my team the last couple of months, like, what is your origin story? Tell me your origin story. Why did you start being interested in this? And then they were like, what's yours?
Right.
And I was like, I'm the boss. You don't ask me. I ask
That's
you.
Right. I don't need one.
Like, you don't need to know. That's on a purely need to know basis. And I started thinking about it. And I started realizing that there was this one story that I had heard so much that I didn't know if I really remembered it or if I just knew it. But I knew I had been present when it happened. And it was in Ireland when I was like 3 years old. And my grandfather had passed away. Mm-hmm. And so we were over, you didn't just go over for a funeral in like 1973.
Right.
You know, you went over, you're going to stay for a few weeks and
right.
get in all of the funerals and all of the whatnots, right. you know, whatever happens, you might a wedding too, maybe
right.
probably childbirth, but you know. And so I was sitting in, you know, this is like Ireland in the 1970s, which is like America in the 1840s. I mean, it's rural, it's poverty stricken, it's there's no running waters in the house. You know, I mean, there's just not going on.
Wow.
And we were all sitting kind of in the living room kitchen area. And my uncle, who was like probably 28, 29 at the time, had come back from town, which is like a euphemism for the pub,
right?
You know, like town right. is the pub, you know, right. work is the pub.
Right.
So, and he'd come back and he'd had a few and
right.
he was a big dude though. And it, you know, he wasn't by any stretch of the imagination, he wasn't drunk or anything.
Right.
But my grandmother was frustrated with him because he hadn't milked the cow yet. And so she said, Marcin, would you go out and you'll milk the cow? You know, she'll be sore in the morning if you don't milk the cow.
Right.
And my uncle, being a typical 28-year-old guy, knew better than everybody else. And he was like, I will in a second. I'm telling the story. I want to,
right.
you know, I'm standing here smoking my cigarette. And she probably told him 2 or 3 times.
Right.
And finally, he was just like, I will when I'm good and ready. Not disrespectful, but like forceful.
Right.
And when I say we're out in the middle of nowhere, I mean, there's not a person around for miles. Uh-huh. And all of a sudden, just boom, 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 three knocks at the door. Everybody stops. Everybody, you know, is like, who the hell is that? My uncle stops, but he can't act like he's afraid. So he goes outside and he comes back in and, you know, there's no one there. And he goes back to telling a story as if that wasn't really strange, you know. Right. So again, you know, my grandmother says, Margie, your father would be very upset. I think you better go. Mm. Nope, not going to go. Boom, boom, boom. Three knocks. He goes out. And it happens one more time. And he doesn't come back for about 25 minutes.
Right.
And when he came back, my grandmother kind of knowingly said to him, what happened, you know? And he said, well, I went out, I walked up the road, there was no one up the road. I walked down the road, there was no one down the road. And I went out to the barn and the door was open and the cow was in her stall and the bucket was underneath her and the stool was beside her. And my grandmother said, what'd you do? And he said, I bit that freaking cow, you know? And to me, you know, it's a funny story. Right. But when I think about it, it's like, I kind of remember the vibe of it.
Wow.
And like that something had happened.
Right.
So whether it's my origin story or not, it is now,
that's
you know, that's the one
like
I'm going to go with. But I had a career for 20 years where I did marketing and I did, I worked in cricket, the sport of cricket, and I produced World Cups and I did a lot of stuff.
Wow.
And when I decided to kind of go out on my own, a friend who'd known me since childhood said, you have to do something in the paranormal. And I was like, well, what is that? And she was like, I don't know, but that's your abiding passion. Like that's
right.
your thing. And, you guys know Jen Hampton from Asbury Lanes. I had sent Jen an email in like 2006.
Right.
And I got a response in like late 2007. You know, it had gone to her junk file or something. And I said, hey, I heard the Lanes was haunted. You know, can I come and check it out?
Right.
And she sent me an email back and she said, does it hurt them if you investigate it? And I was like, I don't know. I don't think so. But I'm going to say no because I want to come in.
Right.
But honestly, that relationship is kind of what solidified for me what I ended up wanting to do, which was build a space where people who are into this
right.
can have a like a brick and mortar destination to go to.
Right.
And we've been in the shop for 12 years and the museum for 10.
Wow. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
So did you find anything when you got in the Lanes?
Oh, we did. We found some interesting things. Like, and, you know, a lot of this stuff you have to – the stories were great, you know, but – this is the real Lanes, like the Lanes that
sure.
you know, that I will always refer to as the real Lanes.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of history in that building and there were a lot of ups and downs. But the coolest thing that we found was we got this recording and it sounded like a dog barking.
Right.
And the former owner was a guy named Ralph. And he was there the night we did our first investigation. And he was just like, oh, boy, that's crap. And we get that a lot. You
what,
know?
The hell? What the hell are they doing now?
I don't believe it. Fine, whatever. You know? Right. And, but we had a psychic medium with us and she had this guy and he's like, well, it sounds like my father, you know, like, so there's like, everybody is kind of into it a little, like everybody's really into it.
Right.
They just don't want to seem like they're really into
right.
it. So we're going through everything and the medium goes, there's a dog running around here. And we heard these barks on the recording.
Right.
And that's really compelling when you're like, dude, did you hear that? I heard that there was a dog barking.
Right.
And she said, is there a dog named William here? Like, was there a dog? And he kind of just stepped back and he goes, there was a guy who had a dog named Sweet William. And Sweet William was this beautiful black lab.
Wow.
And he would meet him at this is no, you know, no
right,
bull.
Right.
He would, the guy would get off work and he would go to the Lanes and the dog would meet him at the Lanes.
No.
This was years and years and years ago before, you know, Jen Hampton went in and everything like that. And the dog
so
would have
awesome.
A drink with them, right?
Right?
So they'd have a drink. So Ralph says to the medium, oh, but you know, oh, the dog is long dead. And
right.
she was just like, no. You're like, I know. He's running around here.
Right.
So that to me was one of the coolest things.
That's
was
really
like,
cool.
Was it a ghost dog? Probably not. But
right.
it was really, you know, it was just kind of cool and it brought up this memory
right.
that I thought was awesome about the Lanes.
Right. That's really awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, so the whole time you're It's amazing that you're producing cricket, by the way.
That's another podcast.
Like, yeah, totally. I mean, like, wow. So as you're doing that career and everything, do you have this interest like as a hobby?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, I would say more like what's more than a hobby, but not quite an obsession. And
so what are you doing at that? Are you reading about it? Or are you going to visit places?
Oh, yeah. All of the above. Yeah. You know, and this is just the infancy of the internet.
Okay.
And I'll never – I remember the first time someone caught an orb on a camera, and I on these digital cameras people are talking of that were about this big and had like a 1 megabyte, you know, hard drive.
Right.
And you're like, this is the future. We have proof now, you know. And I remember that. And I was always a little bit of a gearhead. Like I was always someone – because I had access to broadcast stuff. You know, I was working in an earth station and I was doing satellite transmissions. I didn't understand – the technology well enough. I understood how it worked. And I was always like, hey, do you know how that works? Can you make that work for me? Yeah, like I always had somebody that could kind of manipulate things for me to see and experience what I kind of wanted to get to. But yeah, I mean, you know, my library was so big that that's why I ended up with a bookstore.
Oh.
Because I'm like, I'll just take this and move it in here.
Right.
And I still have more books at home than I have in the bookstore.
Right.
And I carry almost 4,000 titles in the bookstore. Yeah.
Wow.
And I watched this explode. I mean, it always went from very fringe, you know, a very specific, everybody had an interest, you know, everybody had a Ouija board story. I always laugh and I say, you know, everybody says the same things. They just start the sentence out different. So it's always like, I don't believe any of this crap.
Right.
But one time, you know, or I believe all of this one time, you know, that everybody has that one story.
Sure.
But when I was doing cricket, which I loved, by the way, it was awesome. I really enjoyed the kind of marketing of that. When I was doing that stuff, I think it kind of it just the way the internet was opening up, and just the fact that, you know, I had a job that required me to be on the internet. You know, you know what I mean? So I had a lot of opportunity. But there was a lot of TV shows, and there was, you know, a lot of people, Fate magazine, Bizarre magazine, you know, even Skeptical Inquirer and stuff like that. So you could kind of develop an interest in that way. And certainly local historical societies. But I was that person, like, I knew when Blair Witch came out, my phone blew up because people were like, is it real? Because if there was this thing, she would know about it. And I was able to say categorically, no, it's not. It must be marketing, because I would have heard of this already. And so it was I was already in niche marketing. So when I decided to open my shop, it really was just a lateral move.
Interesting.
You know, so.
That was great marketing, though, for Blair Witch. That was sick.
Genius. Yeah, that was genius.
That was totally awesome. So how did you end up in Asbury then?
You know, I think I ended up in Asbury Park because it looked like I wanted it to look. And also there was a real vibe then.
Right.
And there are people who are in Asbury Park much, much longer than I am. But there was, it's like the class of 2008,
right.
You know, the class of 2007, class of 2008. When we had on Cookman, you know, we had Jen was over at Crybaby and Parlor Gallery, and Jeff Havison had just opened Plan B. And we had all of these businesses that were people that had transplanted to Asbury Park. And everybody was just like, we're going to do this. We're going to make this happen. And I think I don't think the Lanes gets enough credit for kind of the impetus for people to invest themselves in the community.
Right.
But for me, I think if Jen Hampton hadn't said, have you looked at starting a business in Asbury Park? I don't think I would have.
Wow.
And I'll never forget the day I found my place. She had invited me to a Chamber of Commerce meet. I don't know why I was going to a Chamber of Commerce. I don't know. But you know, I showed up in my little suit, and you know, like, and nobody else was in a suit, by the way. I clearly had a different view of what business was.
That's awesome.
You know, they were all in, like, you know, everybody was in sweatpants and whatever. And it was on the Paramount Theater stage, and I was just like, this is so cool. Like, I'm on this amazing stage.
Right.
And that day I was like, I'm going to find a place and I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to open something here. And I had about 4 appointments to look at spaces. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, nobody wanted to rent to me.
Really?
They had a real idea of who they wanted in the downtown. And right. we didn't fit that.
Right.
And as I was leaving town and so frustrated, because there were things that they wouldn't even show me. And I think there was this idea that I wouldn't make it. So they didn't want to put me in there, you know.
Gotcha. Right.
Where are they now?
Right.
You know, like, haven't seen them in a few years. Yeah. But I was driving past and a realtor was putting a sign up that just said for rent.
Wow.
And I was like, I just stopped my car, I got out, I walked in, I said, when is this for available? And they're like, as soon as we can clear it out. I gave them a deposit that day.
No way.
It was just one of those weird, you know, where it's like the universe stepped in and it was this orange building on Cookman, right in the middle of Cookman
right.
Avenue. And then about 18 months later, the people next to me went out and I took over the space next door. And then, you know, 9 years later, mm-hmm. I bought the building next to me. And being able to own my building has really fundamentally changed, I think. Just you're really invested at that point,
right.
you know.
Yep.
And my building, the reason why I bought the building was it was for sale, but it had a reputation for being haunted, and I'd heard about it for years.
Really?
So I thought, wow, it's awesome. It would be awesome to be able to be in a place that has its own story.
Totally.
And, yeah. So it's been great. It's actually been awesome.
That's really cool. So what's your vibe of the haunted situation of the building since you moved?
So I will tell you, you know, I've already told you I'm a marketer, so yeah. Or I have a background in marketing, so it's very haunted.
That's right.
I think it's a portal to hell.
Right.
But I am, you know, inherently I hope I'm ethical, you know.
Right, totally.
I will tell you, I was in the other place for 9 years and people would come in and everybody would say, I saw this, I saw that. And I always took that with a, I'm sure you did.
Right.
Thank you.
Right.
Could you write about that on the internet? You know, that would be awesome. But I'm really skeptical. I mean, believe it or not, I'm actually very skeptical. And yet in this place.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I've never really had more activity in a singular... And I'll tell you something really weird that happened, too. I was everybody sent. I get email updates every day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we heard somebody walking upstairs. A lady saw a little kid. I mean, it's constant. It's
wow.
constant. You know, you have to take everything with a grain of salt because
sure.
you're in a place that's saying, by the way, this is haunted.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
So if you're a person that has a predisposition towards that, you are going to see.
Right.
You're going to experience. And I'm not saying you're lying. I'm just saying
right.
you're just going to see it. I have a break room on the third floor,
mm-hmm.
and it has a king size bed. You know,
right.
you know, like it's not an apartment. It's literally when I'm working late, if I want to, you know, crash there, I can, or
cool.
or you know, my staff can have, you know, have a place to eat, and my office is up there.
Right.
And I was doing an investigation a few months ago, and I had fallen. I actually fell asleep on the couch,
mm-hmm.
and. Around 2:30 in the morning, I have the ring, you know, like ring, the doorbells are,
yeah.
it's not the doorbell, it's the lock. It's
right.
like a, you know, an electric lock. So
right.
you put a code in it, whatever, which I thought would be easier, and it's not at all. But so I was laying in bed, laying on the couch, and I was asleep. And it had been, you know, a very long, late day. And around 3:00 in the morning, all of my security lights went up.
Right.
Now, that's not supposed to happen unless you lose power or you have a fire,
right?
Right? So, I mean, it's like as bright as can be. And I stand up and I'm like, no alarms going off, nothing like that. And I'm like, what the hell? Because it's like, you know, like an airplane just landed on you.
Right.
It's, you know, it's so bright. And I'm, oh, and I'm like, God damn it, you know, like,
right.
stop, you know, and the light goes off. And what I realized had happened was, or I didn't realize, and I still don't know how this happened, they had not locked the front door when they left. My staff left. Right. They had not locked the front door. And so the front door had opened.
Right.
And there was a sudden, nobody was in there, but they could have been.
Sure.
Right. There was no power outage. There was not. It's almost like the building was like,
burglars were like,
and checking, you know,
like F that. I'm not walking in that paranormal place.
I will
place
tell now. You, I don't ever worry about that, because the best burglar alarm, the best anti-theft is just put a Ouija board in your window, because they're like, that chick is crazy. Right. You know, like totally. She's in, there's demons in there. I'm never really worried about that. I probably shouldn't say that, but I'm never really worried about that.
Right, totally.
But sometimes things do happen where you're like, that's just weird.
Right.
You know, and do we hear footsteps? Yeah, of course. We hear all those things.
Right.
But I have about 250 artifacts that are on display, and every single one of them someone gave to us because they believe it's haunted.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean I believe that they're right.
Right.
But there are certainly some of them where you're like I got one from a police officer who had it for almost 20 years himself. And probably for the first 3 or 4 years that I had it, I thought, this is a really cool artifact, and I love the story. And then after that, I'm like, dude, there's something. Like, something about this that's creepy.
Energy on it, right?
Yeah, you know,
that's intense.
And when you get it from a cop, it does elevate it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, whatever their training is, but even the way he wouldn't take money for it. He was just like, I just don't want it used by anyone.
Mm.
And I need it to go to a place that no one is going to use it.
Right.
And I was like, I won't use it.
Right.
But it was, you know, and I will tell you, if you ever come to the place and you walk past it, you'll get it too. It's got a weird vibe.
Is it? That's cool. So what about Asbury's paranormal history? Are there places other than you mentioned the lanes, other places with like spirit
there's,
activity?
You know, believe it or not, I mean, it's a resort town. Mm-hmm. So resort towns inherently always seem to have more activity.
Yeah.
And I think that's because they're usually by water. You have a transient population that comes in and out. And you also have like really high highs and really low lows. So you have like people who have their last hurrah, you know, like Asbury Park has a lot of suicides, and you know, and so does Las Vegas, you know, so does a lot of, not that I'm comparing us to Las Vegas, but you know what I mean. But yeah, there are lots of reports. There's a lot of private homes in Asbury Park that have activity that we've done investigations at.
Right.
But the Paramount Theater is one of the most iconic places in Asbury Park, and it has like a remarkable not only history, but virtually everybody that's worked there from the 1970s on will say, we see the projectionist over here, or we see movement or things like that. I was actually just online today, and there's a lot of amateur historians in Asbury Park, and very good amateur historians, and they were having kind of a heated argument or heated discussion about who was the ghost. In other words, it wasn't a question that there was a ghost.
Right.
It was who was the ghost. And, you know, these guys have really in-depth knowledge about the individuals that worked in these places, which is something that a lot of towns don't have, like very personal kind of history.
Mm-hmm.
But the Stephen Crane House is another place. And I predominantly talk about public places because I want to talk about places that people can visit.
Mm-hmm.
But even the boardwalk itself has a... there's a naval officer that's been seen on it for in the 12 years that I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
I've probably gotten 15 or 20 reports of it.
Really?
And it can be really uncanny because people who are coming in are people who are like, I don't know what I just saw, but I saw this thing kind of floating through a crowd, you know, which can be really disconcerting for people. But the beach itself has a reputation for being haunted.
Is that related to the shipwreck that was out there?
There's definitely two. So there's two shipwrecks, right? So at least two that we know of.
Right.
The first was in 1854, and it was a German immigrant ship called the New Era.
Right.
And it went down with close to 300 lives lost.
Oh, dear,
and
really?
It's still there.
Oh, no way.
So it's a wooden vessel, and it's... anchor is on a church in Allenhurst, on the lawn of a church in Allenhurst. There was a local amateur historian named Dr. Fernicola who found the anchor and actually donated it to the church as a memorial for the victims.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, I mean, stuff like that leaves a mark. Like, I tell a very long, drawn-out story about both of the shipwrecks that went down. But when you think about just kind of when the Morrow Castle went down, there were 25,000 people there 12 hours later watching it,
you know,
and this went on for 4 months and you had a massive loss of life. And, yeah, I think those things leave a mark.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely think they do.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
I've talked to some bed and breakfast owners in Ocean Grove also that feel like they have like the original innkeepers that still stay present in the place.
It's very funny because when I originally, I looked at Ocean Grove and I actually had an agreement for a lease in Ocean Grove, and then they found out the name of my business and they were like, oh, that's not available. Oh no, I'm sorry. We thought you said normal books.
That's right.
You know, normal books and nothing is curious.
Right, right.
And you know, I just, but it just rolled off my back because if you're not happy to have me there, I don't want to be there, but Ocean Grove, does have a lot, and they have some, I don't think it would be surprising for people to think that some of their stories are a little weird, you know?
Right.
We did an investigation at 2 Ocean Grove B&Bs, both of which have burned down since.
Oh, really?
So, which I do not believe is related at all to the spirits. other things, perhaps, but certainly not the spirits. But there is a nun that is seen like a Sally Fields flying nun type on the boardwalk.
Right.
And I had somebody came in and said, she was riding her bike on the boardwalk because it was off season. Mm. And she's like, out of nowhere, there was this nun. And she tried to swerve and went right through her.
No way.
And honestly, that it's funny, right? It is funny. Ocean Grove is really resistant to the idea of it being haunted. Asbury Park is a little bit more like, we could care less.
Right.
You know, I think they love the idea of having us there when they're aware of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never really had any. The Berkeley Carteret years ago in the beginning was like, don't tell anyone we're haunted or we'll sue you. And I was just like, for what?
Right.
You know, like, you're haunted. Prove you're not. But again, you know, you want to be a good neighbor.
Right.
And now they're not like that at all because they've changed ownership. And
gotcha.
I think the whole kind of mainstreaming of paranormal stuff is. People really do see the upside to it, you know, like the historical connection, but also people who are interested in the subject matter know about it. People who aren't have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be in the Shining Room in Colorado with the twins. If you're not interested in it, you're not going to know it.
Right.
You know?
That is interesting. So you run some paranormal tours, right?
Yep. We do. So we have... we have three nighttime tours. We do Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, which we do a boardwalk tour and a downtown tour. And we do tours of the museum on Saturdays and Sundays. And we have a whole slew of specialty tours as well. We also do ghost hunts. And we do lectures. Like, I just got back from Transylvania. I was in Transylvania for 9 days.
Oh, wow.
And in November, I'll do a lecture on it. And the lectures are all free.
Oh, cool.
And the idea is to kind of give people a place to go and hang out where they don't have to put their hand in their pocket if they don't want to, you know.
Gotcha.
It works out for me, you know, but it's a lot of fun.
That is cool. So tell me about an upcoming event is the Krampus Asbury Park Festival, December 6th through 8th this year.
Right.
What's that all about?
So Krampus is, so this is our fifth year, so it's the fifth annual. And we do, for those of you who don't know who Krampus is, a very easy way of looking at Krampus is he is an agent of retribution. Those of you who are my age or right around my age, and I just turned 50, there used to be a time when in the holidays where your punishment, if you were bad, was to not get gifts.
Right.
Like, when you got a punishment, you know, you were probably crying about it, you know, someplace in the corner. It wasn't enough to just not get rewarded. And Krampus comes from that kind of an idea, which is that St. Nicholas comes on the 6th of December, and he's going to bring you a present. But Krampus comes on the 5th of December, and he's not going to just, you know, not give you a present.
Right.
He is going to give you, like, an ass whooping or, like, some kind of sliding scale of that.
Right.
And this is where the whole idea of, like, coal in your stocking comes from and things like that.
Right.
But if you think of Krampus, he's like the balance of nature.
Uh-huh.
And in a lot of Northern European countries, he's prevalent in a lot of different ways. And it's you know why it's fun? Because the kids get it.
Right.
They're already terrified of Santa, right?
Right.
And They don't know why. They're supposed to love this guy. And they're like, love him. He's watching me when I'm sleeping. He just takes my presence away arbitrarily. There's no rules and no rhyme. Whereas Krampus, if Krampus comes to you, you have a pretty good idea why. You know, he's not coming because you talked back. You know, he's coming because you did something. And so what we have is on the Friday night, we do a we do pictures with Yeti and Krampus, which is free. So it's a holiday thing we've done for 12 years. We have a recommended donation of $5 a person, but you could bring a smile. I don't care. All of the proceeds go to a charity this year. It's the Walk to End Lupus. And then we do a film festival in town called the Krampus Asbury Park Film Festival. And it's there are three or four different categories. It's on the website. But last year's winners were actually from Communications High School in Wall. And the year before, it was actually a production company out of L.A. They flew out for it. So we have a really great scale.
That's cool.
And then on Saturday, we have a slew of free events. We do a walking tour called The Monsters of Yule, which is all of the different monsters from Europe and Greece and everything that are associated with the Yuletide holidays. We do the reading of the naughty list, because starting the day after Halloween, you can enter people's names on the naughty list. We no longer accept reasons because it got a little risque, a little embarrassing for a few people, myself included, because I have to read them. And then we do usually get between 50 and 70 people dressed up as Krampus. And I do a very traditional Lauf, which Lauf just means run, where we kind of march them down to Kennedy Park, and everybody comes with us. And then I make them run, and they have to scare the children.
Right.
And then the kids pick who the scariest one is, and that person is named Krampus of this year. Of the year. Last year, Krampus was early. It was December 2nd. And I got on a plane for Germany December 3rd for their Krampus. And you know what I was super excited was it felt the same. I'm like, we got this. Like, kind of nailed it.
That's cool.
This year on Sunday, we're doing breakfast with Krampus, which is kind of like breakfast with Santa, except terrifying. And, you know, and there are, everything is spiked. So, you know, it's a lot of fun. Most, almost everything is free. I think the movie, I think it's $10 for the film festival. And I think the brunch is like $30.
Oh, that's cool.
But everything else is free.
Where are you showing the movies?
The showroom. And they're always our partner. And they, and honestly, they've been our partner. We do the horror church with them, and we do a lot of different things with them.
That's awesome. All right. So people should check out KrampusAP.com for info on that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kathy, I appreciate you coming in.
Oh, thanks so much.
This was awesome learning about the Paranormal Museum and a little bit of the history. I want a dog named Sweet Willie. I want a dog that'll just meet me in town randomly.
Like, have a beer ready for you.
That pretty much rules. Is he still around, or has he like boycotted the new lanes?
Well, I don't know, because I have. So I've not been there yet, and I probably never will be.
But no dogs allowed. Yeah, rules change. All right, cool. So check out Paranormal Museum and Paranormal Books and Curiosities. That's a mouthful. I'm going to come by and see if I can figure out what relic or item you're talking about. See if I can, what my senses are like, and what time frame is the naval soldier on the boardwalk, so people should keep an eye out for that. Is it like a
so he's
old
there,
dude, like
no he's young. He's young, he's African-American,
right?
And he is usually there between 3 and 5 p.m. and I'll tell you exactly where. Between where the old Howard Johnson's was, I don't remember what the name of the restaurant is now. It's
Robinson's,
I think, is right. And the Morrow Castle Memorial, and he's seen walking there, and every time, even during fireworks and stuff like that, people have seen him. But predominantly between 3 and 5 p.m.
Oh wow, that's cool. All right, we'll take a look out for that. Sweet. Check out KrampusAP.com and ParanormalBooksNJ.com, and follow the Paranormal Museum on Instagram. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You got it.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.